Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Empty Promise Podcast. My name is Chris, and today I'm joined on this fine Sunday morning by my best friend in the whole wide world, Mr. James D. Downey.
Hello.
As we take into what is episode 94 of the podcast.
Now we're creeping up on that 100.
We are creeping up on 100.
I mean, we've been creeping up for a while now.
Yeah, we're only six episodes away. Yeah. Oh my God, we're only six episodes away. that's going to come like next month.
That's worrying.
Oh, shit.
We have no prep.
I thought, well, no.
This whole time we've been putting it off saying, oh, we've got to build up for something big.
Is it going to happen here? This is a whole other thing.
I've booked the four seasons.
Oh, good, good. Yes. I've booked us a suite.
Yeah.
It is the 2nd of February, 2020, and it's a cold, kind of miserable Sunday, but still a fine Sunday.
Yeah. Days are getting longer. It is. We're on the up and up.
As we take into episode 94.
We're going to look at the Nazino affair today. So, what do you get when you force 6,000 people onto a swampy river island deep in the Siberian wilderness with no shelter, no tools, and only flour to eat? The answer isn't pretty by any means, but it is absolutely shocking.
I cannot wait to hear about this.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that a little later on, and we'll also talk about the growing epidemic that is the coronavirus spreading throughout the world, and of course, some more Nick Cage news.
I'm so delighted. Yeah. This is the thing we have to keep going.
We're
going to
keep some Nick Cage on the go at all times on this podcast.
At all times. We're always ready for some Nick Cage.
There will be a segment dedicated to the man that is
at the end of the year. We could compile all the bits of Nick Cage that we have and just do one giant
sweep. Nick Cage podcast.
Yeah, we should rebrand.
We'll just break off into a new podcast.
Yeah, a new one. Yeah,
dedicated to Nick Cage.
Perfect.
Nick Cage movies. Yeah. We said ages ago we were going to do a Nick Cage marathon.
Oh yeah, we did.
And we've never done that. No. We should.
We said that with Shawnee Mac, actually, didn't we?
Yeah, we should do that with Shawnee Mac.
Yeah, with Shawnee Mac.
And he would have a lot of insight.
We haven't had a guest in the show, and
no,
we've been carrying this show by ourselves, single-handedly on our backs, Steve. My back is broke.
You know, it adds up.
You know, it does. Yeah, it takes its toll.
You feel it.
Remember that you can find this podcast and all of our previous podcasts over at youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast. There you will find the video version. If the video is no good for you or you wish to take us on the go, you can find us in any podcast hosting service from Apple Podcasts to Spotify, Stitcher, any podcast hosting service. And if it's not too much trouble, if you could go ahead and give us a little rating on Apple Podcasts, that would tremendously help us. And if not, that's fine too. We're just happy that we have you here listening to us. If you're new to the podcast, hello and welcome. We hope this podcast finds you well. And if you are a returning customer of the podcast, you are most welcome. I think I can give you a bit of on this day, Dee.
Please.
Now, I spoke to you. Okay, I'm going to go
ahead. I'm here for these.
Okay, so on this day, 2nd of February, 1653, New Amsterdam, later renamed the city of New York.
Yeah. I remember you asked us.
Yeah. I think I spoke to Dee before the podcast and I said, I think we've done a podcast on the 2nd of February before because these sound very, very familiar. The Swiss tennis player Roger Federer becomes the number one ranked men's single player in a position he will hold for a record 237 weeks.
Some boy.
Yep. The first digital camera projection in Europe, Paris, is realized by Philippe Binance with the DLP cinema technology developed in Texas Instruments. That was in the 2nd of February 2000. 1848, the California Gold Rush, the first ship with Chinese immigrants, arrives in San Francisco.
For the Gold Rush.
Yep. 1914, Charlie Chapman's first film appeared, making a living. It premiered.
That's mad.
Yep. 1914. That was like First World War. Before the First World War?
During
the First World War.
1914, 1918.
Okay.
Around that time.
And in 1887, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, the first Groundhog Day is observed.
Oh, really?
What is a Groundhog?
Is Groundhog Day always on the 2nd of February, or is it like the first Friday or the last
Sunday? I don't
know.
What
like
is
that?
Groundhog Day? I know the premise behind it, that you know the same thing keeps happening over and over.
That's the movie.
Yeah,
I think Groundhog Day is like,
is that not like the same thing?
No, it's like, it's a stupid thing where like if the groundhog shows up, that means you're gonna have a good winter or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, something like that. Like, people base how early the groundhogs come out of their... I think they hibernate, maybe.
Oh.
Like, oh, that means we're going to have a good... You know, or we're going to have, you know...
Oh, okay.
4 more weeks of winter. Or oh, right, like okay, okay. I don't really... I don't know.
It's like if you see seagulls in land, it's like, oh, it's going to be stormy at sea.
Yeah, some stuff
okay.
like that. Like.
Okay, I get it. And in 1901, it was the funeral of Queen Victoria.
1901?
Yeah.
Oh, she's like the longest reigning monarch, isn't she? Mm-hmm. She reigned for fucking like...
Wait, Queen Victoria. Is that not the first Queen Elizabeth? No?
No.
No, Queen Victoria is longer?
Yeah.
Okay.
First Queen Elizabeth wasn't very long, I don't
think. Was she not?
No.
Did she take... She took place after Queen Victoria, though. That'd be right. So she took place from 1901?
Maybe. No, I think it was a king after him.
Was it?
Her. I don't know.
I genuinely... I'm
terrible. Don't care.
But here's one. 2012, actually. The ferry MV Rabaul... Queen sinks off the coast of Papua New Guinea near the Finchampfen district with an estimation of 146 to 165 deaths. I didn't even know that happened.
145 people.
So a ferry sank.
What year was that?
2012.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You just don't hear about these things.
No, I know. But yeah, that's some on this day. I know we've done those before because I know I've heard that New York one.
That New Amsterdam one, definitely.
And definitely the Roger Federer one.
Mm.
Pretty sure I have that in my notes somewhere. But yeah. Nothing else to discuss about on this day, D, I don't think. It's been a pretty chaotic couple of weeks. It's been 2 weeks from we got together.
Yeah. It was a mandatory break in between.
Yeah. So we can do... we should have a good bit of news to cover.
We should.
Should we jump into the news?
You would think that.
You would think that.
And yet.
And yet. Well, I haven't wrote down anything on the kind of big pieces of news. Do you want to cover them first of all?
Sure. So, I mean, to be fair, the biggest piece of news I think that's been, you know, engulfing the world is the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Spreading out of Wuhan in China.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's getting around, you know?
I know, it is. Well, I actually have a bit on the coronavirus today.
Oh, that's good.
It came through on BBC News this morning, D. The first death outside of China is reported from the coronavirus in the Philippines. A man has died of the coronavirus in the Philippines, the first confirmed fatality outside of China. The patient was 44-year-old Chinese man from Wuhan in the Hubei province where the virus was first detected. He appeared to have been infected before arriving in the Philippines, the WHO said. More than 300 people have died in the outbreak so far, the vast majority from Hubei. More than 14,000 people so far have been infected. The US, Australia, and an increasing number of other countries have barred the arrival of foreigners from China and are requiring their own citizens to be quarantined.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we are with the whole thing. The World Health Organization during the week, like 2 nights ago, I think, declared it as a...
Yeah, like a world health emergency.
Yeah, it wasn't just China. It was like a worldwide kind of emergency, with which they did with Ebola and SARS and Zika virus. Remember it? 2016?
Yeah, Zika.
Came
from
Brazil, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, because that's when the Olympics or the World Cup was happening.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Worried about
that? Where did this come from? I know it's come... it's come from animals.
Yeah.
But they haven't determined from which animals or where yet.
I remember watching a thing on this recently, and it's like most like of these viruses that kind of pop up and like spread really quickly are coming from like cross contamination between like an animal virus that manages to jump into a human, because obviously human like defense immune system isn't used to it at all, so that's why it can spread so quickly.
Right.
So yeah, it'll come from some sort of animal, and they were saying there's like places in China particularly where like hygiene isn't, you know, like they have open food markets, so they'll have like, you know, like skin chickens, skin just animals hanging just hanging there, you know. So it's like the chances of cross contamination are quite high.
Why is it that it always seems to be like the eastern kind of bloc countries, like this is where these develop first of all? Is it because of the sheer number of people?
I think so. Yeah.
Is that what it is, is it like that because they practice this?
It's kind of, I think it's a combination of both. I mean, like it's culturally over there, that's just normal. Like that's just going to the shops and picking up like, oh, I want a fresh chicken, so you go to those markets. It's like a fish market. Like that's where you get the freshest stuff, but like that's like not very hygienic.
No.
And it allows for this to happen. And then of course you have the fact that those places are like densely populated, like so densely populated, like a billion people. So like
someone's gonna get sick.
If one person does get sick, like the chances of other people getting affected is much higher than say if it happened in like rural Africa.
Okay.
Because then, you know, that if someone did get infected, they may, might infect like the closest people to them, but it won't get any further.
But then obviously Ebola started in Africa.
Well, that's true.
But yeah. They said it came from the jungle, which is scary. That's a scary thought, that Ebola came from... Like, when they say, oh, it came from the jungle, yeah. Like, that's...
It's
that's
like, it lay in wait for years.
That's what I mean.
Stalking.
Yeah, in the river reeds, you watching, know, waiting.
And then it struck.
Funny, actually, I watched... yesterday, I watched Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life, you know, the second Tomb Raider movie. And the villain or whatever in it had an escalated form of Ebola in capsule form.
Oh, is that right?
And that was in 2004. Oh. So where did he get that from? Yeah. You know? And at that point, he said it was the deadliest virus known to man.
See, it probably has been about like longer.
That's crazy. And accelerated.
That's actually another version. Thing about coronavirus is that coronavirus isn't like, this isn't the coronavirus. Coronavirus is like a strand of virus, we'll right. say. So SARS was a coronavirus.
Oh, right. Okay.
And this is called the Wuhan coronavirus, because it's not like corona isn't like the distinctive part about it.
Oh, okay.
So people were
it's like a branch off, basically.
Yeah, it's kind of like a subspecies of virus, if you want to call it that. But people have already jumped onto the fact that Dettol. Have you seen this?
Go on ahead.
Dettol has already on its like its branding said that it can kill coronavirus.
Yeah,
and people are going like, this was printed in 2019.
Yeah.
What the fuck? How do they know about coronavirus?
Yeah.
Do they know something we don't? And you're like, no, coronavirus is like...
It's been around. This is just a branch off. That's crazy.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, people are going mad for Dettol. People are genuinely going mad. And we had a couple of Chinese people in the store I work, and they were stocking up on hand sanitizers.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently they said that can kill... this virus or whatever.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Like, it's no worse. It's like, it's not that it's no worse than the flu, but like,
yeah, I seen on a scale, yeah, and it showed like the scale of like viruses and stuff across the world, and it's just slightly higher than the common cold, basically. Mm. You know,
it's like the worrying thing about it is that more people die,
yeah,
than who get, you know, infected by the flu. But in terms of preventing it, it's the same process. Like, just wash your hands,
mm-hmm. stay clean,
hand sanitizer. Yeah, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
don't cough on people.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, it's spreading and it's kind of concerning. It is pretty concerning. I mean, it's obviously a scary thought, because there's no way to, like, humans, we can't just, like, we can't fight it off. Like, it just, you get it and you have to deal with it.
It's scary that they don't, it's a respiratory virus as well, but it's scary they don't know where it's come from.
Well, you see, that's what they do, though. I mean, you think about it, the fact that they're able to tell you that it's even from a specific city is impressive.
Well, yeah, true.
You know, if you're talking about China is infected, it's like, well, we know it come from this city and we know roughly when it started, so we know whereabouts. Like, they probably know the market it came from. You know, they probably know the first couple of people infected already.
Yeah.
It's like, and also, I was reading a thing about it. They've already, like, developed the cell analysis of it.
Okay.
And whenever this happened with SARS and Ebola, like, it took them, like, a month and a bit. It took them, like 9 days this time.
Oh.
You know, so they've improved on, like, how to, like, fight
it. Okay.
And the other thing is that most of the people who have died
mm-hmm.
have been, like, they're already, like, sick. Like, people who had, like, immune deficiencies.
Okay.
Like, the elderly, the young.
Okay.
So it's not, like...
It's not something I'm particularly worried about.
We're okay here. However, one piece of my news is that... One second... a man is being treated for coronavirus symptoms in Belfast.
Oh, really?
So there you go. It's never too far away, Chris.
Holy shit, right, okay. Will you live in Belfast?
Well, I live in Belfast. He's being treated at the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast for symptoms associated with coronavirus, an infection which has so far killed... Well, this is about 6 days ago.
Uh-huh.
The 23rd, now this is a week ago. 17 people in China, so it's killed a lot more people since then.
Is he a Chinese national?
He travelled to Northern Ireland from the city of Wuhan,
and
they haven't said whether he's a...
Have they given his name?
A Chinese... No.
Okay.
I mean, that wouldn't really be fair. He's just a patient at the end of the day, isn't he?
True. Yeah, true. Okay. Yeah, he hasn't died from it yet.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that he will.
He's just been treated for it as well. He may not even have it, Chris. He may not even have it.
When they have to quarantine anything, I think that's a scary thought.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. If there are people coming flying home from Wuhan, from China... I got that makes sense, quarantine, but like,
quarantine's a scary, scary
if you were told like you can't go to work tomorrow because, you know, we're concerned, then you'd be shitting yourself.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is close, like, this is big. Yeah, okay. But yeah, just being told you can't go to China, it's like, okay. Well,
I had no plans to go.
Moving on, I have another bit of news. About a turtle this time.
A turtle?
Tortoise. Yeah, we love tortoise news.
Tortoise news, yeah.
A partial descendant of Lonesome George species has been found near a volcano. Do you know about Lonesome George?
No.
So conservationists say they have found 30 giant tortoises partially descendant from the two extinct species, including that of the famed Lonesome George, around the largest volcano on the Galapagos Islands. The Galapagos National Park and Galapagos Conservancy said they discovered a young female who has a direct line of descent from the Clinoides abigdoni species of Pinta Island in Ecuador. The last of those tortoises was Lonesome George, a giant tortoise who was believed to be over 100 years old when he died in June 2012. Aww. Another 11 males and 18 females were from the Niger line of Florina Island in Ecuador. The 45-member expedition was working around the Wolf Volcano on Isabella Island.
Isabella.
So they found 30 giant tortoises at the bottom of a volcano.
Well, that's good. I mean, they gotta survive somewhere, Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, these humans are fucking us up. We're gonna go to this volcano.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty cool that even they can even live at the bottom of a volcano.
Those shells, man.
I'm not saying that they're living in a volcano. I'm just saying at the bottom of one.
They were found at the bottom of a volcano.
I wonder, is it active?
Being treated by a mutated rat.
Is that what the Galapagos is, of Ecuador?
Yeah, it's the other side of it, though. Like
the other side, Pacific, the far side of...
Pacific Ocean side.
Okay. Yes, yeah, so the far side of, like, South America, basically.
Yeah, from us, from like, our perspective.
Yeah, western side. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to go with news, or will I go with news?
Yeah, I got a lighthearted piece of news, and then a sad, like, an the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go with the opposite of that. Kobe Bryant.
Oh, yes, yes.
Kobe Bryant and daughter, Gianna, among 9 killed in a helicopter crash.
Yes.
I'm sure most people have heard about this. But yeah,
that was scary news.
It's just like
it was big news, you know. It was just hard hitting.
Just because he was like even here, like, I don't think like there's much of a basketball following
here, no.
comparatively to like the United States.
Yeah,
but like, everyone had still heard of Kobe Bryant, and it was just like kind of, I don't know, just like a hit home. It's like, yeah, people die.
Yeah,
and in like really unfortunate, sad circumstances as well. Like, I mean, they just were in a helicopter and it just went down, and it crashed. And no one on board survived. Nine people died, including 41-year-old Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter, which just adds a little bit of sadness to the entire mix. Does. He was traveling with 4 other people in his private helicopter when it crashed in Calabasas. I think that's California?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
His wife, Vanessa, was not among those on board. However, his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, was.
No, they made a rule. I read about this. They made a rule that only one parent would ever fly at one time in case something were to happen.
My God. That legitimately, like, this is Kobe Bryant and his wife?
Yeah, yeah.
That's insane.
And unfortunately, this just happened.
That's just the worst. Like.
There's quite a few celebrities or people over the years that have died in, like, aircraft.
Well, this I was just thinking. I was like, helicopters are just not safe.
No. Colin McRae.
The guy who owned Leicester. That happened last year.
The guy who owned Leicester, now Kobe Bryant,
like
helicopter or aircraft as well, like private aircraft as well. It doesn't seem to be too. I mean, you had Buddy Holly. You had wasn't like Leonard Skinner? Didn't they die in like a
Leonard Skinner?
There was a golfer as well. What was his name? Payne Stewart or something like that. He died in a crash. Fucking crazy, man.
See, like, I think the issue is whenever it's private aircraft, isn't
yeah.
it? Because, like, then that's when you know that these aren't people who have, like their life is dedicated to, like, flying safety.
Yeah, these people are just, yeah.
Private aircraft.
They're being paid.
I mean, he did have a pilot there, but apparently that pilot wasn't, like, fully qualified. Like, he was qualified, but not qualified to fly in, like, inclement weather in certain circumstances.
That's painful to hear.
Mohamed Salah. No, is it Mohamed Salah?
Oh, yeah.
Emiliano Salah,
yeah.
Who's coming to Cardiff City. Mm-hmm. And. Same deal. Just like a guy who wasn't fully qualified to fly and something went wrong that they couldn't handle.
That's insane. Do you ever hear the stories of, I was a wee bit off track, but the people, like the celebrities and stuff who were due to fly in like the 9/11 flights who missed the flights and stuff?
Who was it? It was like...
Seth MacFarlane was one of them. Really? He overslept due to a hangover and missed his flight.
That's crazy.
Pink.
Yeah, Pink.
Singer.
Yeah.
And there was a couple more who like either missed the flight or decided to take a different flight.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa.
But
like,
was that the specific flights or was that just like air flights?
I'm pretty sure they were on those flights that were hijacked.
That's
one
crazy.
One of the three, four aircrafts that day that were.
Fucking hell.
That's insane. You know,
well, but the amount of stories of people who just who didn't make it into work on that morning as well.
That's
like, who worked in the. It's like
they'll just always like be thankful that whatever crapped up came up and they just weren't able to make it. But yeah, it really sad news about Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, I mean it's just one of those things, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's just sad to hear.
It doesn't matter who you are, like, you know. I mean, you could hear about people dying in like helicopter accidents, and it's because of. I don't mean it in a bad way.
Yeah, it's the fact that it's Kobe Bryant makes you even read the article.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, that's just sad.
Exactly, yeah.
If someone told you the story about a person they knew, you would feel the exact same way.
Yeah.
But this is just, you know, you don't have that empathy immediately.
Yeah, celebrities aren't like invulnerable to these things, you know. They're not immune to like these things. These things can happen.
Exactly.
Yeah, they can get sick, they can die. They're mortal like the rest of us, you know.
Even if some of them don't believe it.
Yeah, I know.
They are, in fact, mortal.
It's crazy. Be like Leonardo DiCaprio. Just don't have private jets and stuff.
He just doesn't?
No, because he's more concerned about, like, the planet and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So he just fucking walks everywhere. Yeah.
He's got a bike.
Someone else did that, too. Lewis Hamilton does that now, too.
What?
He's like, he doesn't have no private. He did have like private, like, airline.
I read about this. Yeah. I remember people,
he still drives a car.
I know. Yeah. People got really annoyed because he's like, we need to do more to protect the environment. You know, I don't fly private jets, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, but the industry you're involved with.
No, it's like one of the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still think fair enough because like he's just like, you can't just say, I'm going to stop working and making all this money.
I know.
For the climate, but I'm going to try and help.
Yeah, he's doing something to try. Yeah.
But yeah, like, it is kind of hypocritical. It's like the CEO of like an oil company saying, I take my bike to work. You know what I mean? Kind of. Yeah.
I hope he does. Oh. Nick Pizzolatto, is that his name? And Matthew McConaughey. You know the guy who directed True Detective? Nick,
oh, right.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Pizzolatto.
That's the writer, isn't it? Pizzolatto.
Is it?
I think so.
Oh, well, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew McConaughey, a reteam for Redeemer drama series.
Oh, is this the... We were talking.
No, this is a separate one, yeah. True Detective creator Nick Pizzolatto, I'm going to call him Pizzolatto in this bit, and one of the hit HBO anthology series original stars, Matthew McConaughey, are reuniting for Redeemer, a drama series headlined by the Oscar winner, which has landed a script series commitment at FX. In conjunction to the seal, Pizzolatto has signed an overall production deal with Fox 2-1 Television Studios and FX Productions, and McConaughey has closed a first-look production deal with FXP, and 20th TV, all owned by Disney.
Fuck me.
Created by Pizzolatto and inspired by Patrick Coleman's debut novel, The Churchgoer, Redeemer stars Matthew McConaughey as a minister turned dissolute security guard whose search for a missing woman in Texas leads him through a corruption-steeped criminal conspiracy as his past and present impact and entwine around a mystery of escalating violence and deceit. Pizzolatto and Texas native McConaughey, executive produced Redeemer, which is produced by Fox 2-1 TV Studios and FX Productions.
FX
there we go.
2, FXP, and FX2 squared.
It's fucking serious, then.
That sounds excellent.
It does. I can't wait for this. I'm just having a quick scrub through.
McConaughey, Pizzolatto, getting back together, getting the gang back together. Going to be a cameo starring... what's his name?
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson will show up in the background some scene.
Yeah.
Then you get the whole squad.
Tell me this. Have you ever watched that Ozark on Netflix?
No, I mean... I've been
I scrubbed through it the other day. The reason I ask is because I have this bit of news for you. New crime series, The Outsider, has been dubbed as Stephen King meets True Detective. So it looks like HBO and Sky Atlantic's new 10-part series, The Outsider, immediately I love this, 10-part series, I love, it's just a perfect amount, okay, has been a firm hit with those who have already seen it, many of whom are already putting it up there, along with other true crime hits, like anthology series, True Detective. The show is based on a Stephen King book and stars Jason Bateman, who also directs... as Little League baseball coach Terry Maitland, alongside a cast including Ben Mendelsohn, Julianne Nicholson, and British actor Paddy Considine.
Nice.
An official synopsis reads, "The dark mystery follows a seemingly straightforward investigation into the gruesome murder of a young boy. The crime, however, leads a seasoned cop and an unorthodox investigator to question everything they believe to be real as an insidious supernatural force edges its way into the case."
I love that. If anytime someone says this is a cross between something and Stephen King, it's always that concept of an insidious supernatural yeah. force. And you're just like, yeah. I love it. I don't care. I love it. I'm in.
Yeah. The first two episodes are a stunning showcase of direction by Jason Bateman, it has been said.
That's surprising. I wouldn't have thought he would have like the directorial chops.
I know.
Really.
The next episode of The Outsider will air on Sky Atlantic on the 27th of January at 9 p.m. You can also catch up with all episodes so far on Now TV.
I might keep an eye on that one.
Yeah, definitely.
See how that one's doing. Because we have a meaning to watch a new show.
I kind of want to watch that Ozark, but I don't know what it's like.
Yeah, I've heard it's like the Breaking Bad of the... wherever that
like
area
Midwest
is.
Or somewhere.
Yeah,
is it
exactly.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's always American Midwest, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, because Breaking Bad was like the American Southwest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So this is now the Midwest.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do the Northwest next year.
Yeah.
I have some TV and film related news.
Yep.
Nicolas Cage news.
Yeah.
So his latest movie, Chris. The mad and brilliant Nicolas Cage is going to be starring in H.P. Lovecraft's Color Out of Space. I mean, have you heard or seen any of this?
No.
They released a poster and a trailer the other week or last week, and it looks crazy. It looks mad.
Okay.
Nobody does movie madness. This is from Empire Online, by the way. Nobody does movie madness quite like Nicolas Cage. There are even montages dedicated to his losing the shit all across his filmography, and that's even before his 2018 Mandy, where he really brought out his true madness. Have you seen that before? Trailer for that?
I've heard of that, yeah.
The chainsaw revving demon shredding insanity displayed by Cage in that movie. His latest movie is an adaptation of Color Out of Space, the sci-fi horror novella written by H.P. Lovecraft.
What is a novella?
It's like a short novel.
Okay.
It's like longer than a short story, but shorter than a book.
Of course.
Yeah. It's the Nicolas Cage Lovecraft movie you've long dreamed of. From director Richard Stanley, stars Cage as Nathan Gardner, a family man who moves out with his wife and kids to a remote farmhouse to escape the frantic pace of city life. What he doesn't count on is a meteorite crashing down and infecting everything in its vicinity with an otherworldly, indescribable light. Does it send Cage absolutely crackers? Of course it does.
Ah, excellent. Okay.
And the trailer really sends out that vibe of
when is this out?
Let's see, 28th of February.
Okay.
In UK cinemas and on demand, so maybe we'll get that on Netflix.
I think maybe, why don't we go and see that and do a thing? Because we haven't done a film podcast in a while.
I mean, it looks crazy.
We could just see a Nick Cage, that could be our Nick Cage for the week, you know, we could just do an episode based on that movie.
It looks crazy.
Okay.
I've seen Nick Cage with a gun in his hand, and he's seeing things that aren't there. So
Speaking of which, Ghost Rider 2 was on last night on TV.
What a movie.
I'd never seen Ghost Rider 1, so I didn't want to jump into Ghost Rider 2, you know.
Well, you don't need to. It explains everything that happened.
That was coming off the back of The Day After Tomorrow, which I like.
I think it's a good film.
It got like 40% in Rotten Tomatoes.
I mean, that's not fair.
Yeah.
It's not a bad film. I mean, the bit where they're running away from the wind is a bit much. But apart from that, I really enjoyed it.
I like it. I think it's better than 2012.
2012 isn't good.
2012 isn't good.
It's just not good, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I can finish this off with a nice piece of light news.
Absolutely.
It's just a little bizarre as well. Tesla boss Elon Musk releases electronic dance track. Yeah. He has released an EDM track titled Don't Doubt Your Vibe. This is Elon Musk. This is the CEO of Tesla. SpaceX.
Yeah.
Multi-millionaire and entrepreneur. An EDM dance music producer. It's insane. Like,
the man can do everything.
He can.
Has he released this on his website?
It's on Spotify. You can go listen to it now, Chris.
No.
I listened to a sample of it. And it was, I mean, it was okay.
Can we give a sample on the podcast?
It was strange. I don't think it would sound terrific, but you're
I'll quickly search for it and see if we can get it out. What's it called?
It's called Don't Doubt Your Vibe, and your is spelled UR. Because it's, you know.
Oh, UR?
Yeah.
Don't doubt your vibe. I'm searching.
Last year, Mr. Musk released a song about the death of Harambe the gorilla, which was shot in Cincinnati Zoo in 2016. So he's done this before. It's not his first song. He posted the new song on his SoundCloud page on Thursday and told his followers that both the vocals and lyrics were entirely his own. You liking this?
Okay, so that's what we're working with here.
Okay. I mean, it's not bad.
I'm not going to lie, I'm going to give that a listen.
Yeah, you got to give it a full listen. Musk's latest venture comes after Tesla passed Volkswagen to become the world's second most valuable car maker.
No,
so good things happening in his musical career.
What's
and
the number one?
Career. I don't know. Toyota. I want to say like Audi, like BMW, like that whole group, because they're all owned by the same people.
Mercedes?
Don't know.
Ford.
No, it might be Ford. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be someone who sells like high-end and regular like end cars. Yeah.
That's mad. That's crazy.
Yeah. Why not?
That's insane.
When you got that money.
Yeah.
And you got those musical beats.
Did you see the tweet he put out about, say, do you wish to play The Witcher in your Tesla?
Yeah. It's a bit mad. And then he's like, you can already watch it.
You can already watch The Witcher.
On your Tesla. So
just play The Witcher. Yeah.
It's insane.
The man's nuts, like, you know. He can.
He knows how to market, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he can, yeah.
Cashing in on those Witcher coins.
Yeah.
That are being tossed.
Yeah. What a guy. I'm going to listen to his EDM.
Did you know it's a leap year this year?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was shocked by that.
It's a leap year. Everything good happens this year. It's like Valentine's Day happens on a Friday. Do you know, today's Super Bowl Sunday.
I'm ready.
Who are you backing?
The Cincinnati Highliners.
Perfect. Perfect.
It's the 49ers and...
Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah.
Come on, Kansas City, woo!
I mean, that's San Francisco 49ers, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
California, so...
I don't really care. I didn't know much about who was in it. I was expecting Patriots to be in it.
I was expecting like bigger names than these.
But I guess it's a nice break.
Sure.
It's refreshing.
It's good for them.
Hopefully it's just a good game.
Good for those guys.
Are you going to watch it?
No.
No? Okay.
I'm not staying up late to watch.
Okay.
I've watched twice in my life, the Super Bowl, and it's never been worth it. The Seattle one, the one where they won, that was good. The next year where they lost, the Patriots, was actually pretty like high drama.
Yeah.
But the actual sport, the actual like 3 hours of television that it takes to watch it, I'm not a fan of.
It's a marathon. Like you need to be willing. It's true. You need to like almost have like a party or something. And it's
like cricket. It's kind of, you can't just go to watch. You kind of have to be like doing other things while it's
baseball's
on.
Baseball's like that as well. Yeah, just real slow slow burns. Like, you know, just, it shouldn't be. It's a sport.
It's a fast-paced sport.
It is. It's fast-paced for like 4 or 5 seconds at a time.
Yeah, and then it breaks. Yeah, it doesn't just speed that up.
Last couple of years, I've been in America and I've managed to see like the Super Bowl at the regular time, which has been nice. You know, you watch it at like 3, 4 in the afternoon, 5 in the afternoon, which is nice. Speaking of sport, the transfer window closed. You see that?
Yeah.
Did you keep up with any of that?
I know that Chelsea didn't bring anyone in.
And they didn't let Giroud go?
No, because they didn't bring anyone in to replace him.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
United brought in Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, I see.
Played last night.
How did he do?
I mean, it was still 0-0. So.
That's improvement.
Yeah, well, I guess it's not a loss. Exactly. Liverpool are now like 22 points clear. It's on top of it. It's fucking insane. Like, 4-0. They're finally going to win the league, I think.
They can win the league, I think, in April.
Oh, I hope not.
Well, I think they can win it in March. If that's assuming like a City drop like loads of points.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if they continue.
But even if City don't drop any points, they'll still win it in April.
I mean, if they continue to win like the rest of their games now as it stands, and they go into April 23 points clear with only, what, 4, 5 games left?
Yeah,
it's one.
Yeah, they will win. If they keep up their pace, they will win it in April, something. But they could win it in March.
Oh, yeah.
If City drop points all the way there. That's like, it's insane.
Yeah, they're a force at the minute, let's be fair.
It's scary. I'm not even annoyed. I just can't want it to be over at this point.
I know, yeah. Like, although February's now break. This is now winter break.
In February?
Or March, sorry. Isn't there like a break now? Where like nobody's playing because it's to get ready for this like... Are the Euros happening and then...
Maybe. I don't know.
They're changing. I don't know what's happening.
Haven't kept up with sport at all.
No, okay.
These days.
That's it for news.
Yeah, that's it for news. You can find the video version of the podcast over at youtube.com/emptypromisepodcast, or you can find the audio version over at any podcast hosting service. Please get in contact with us if you wish to leave us a comment or question that we will answer happily on the podcast. Or we can keep it for episode 100 of the podcast, where we're going to answer a whole pile of questions.
101 questions.
Oh, 101.
No, just 100
for the 100 questions. Episodes. You can get in touch with us through any of our podcast. No, through any of our social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, just search for the handle Empty Promise Podcast, or through our website, or our email, which is
EmptyPromisePodcast@gmail.com.
There we go. Fuck, got there in the end. It. Jesus, I near forgot myself there. I think we're just about ready to jump into the main topic of this week, D, which I am looking forward to.
Now, you haven't, you did a little looking up about this.
Okay, so when you explained to me, you sent me the name of what we were going to talk about. I quickly searched for it, but I couldn't find the actual name that you sent me, but I found something else.
Okay.
And I thought it was the wrong thing, so I shut the window down.
Fair. No, yeah.
I was like, I don't know what this is.
I think it's really better going into this more or less blind.
Okay.
I like to tell these things as a story. All right. I like to guide people through them.
Okay, good.
If anyone else out there has already heard about the Nazino affair or Nazino Island, you probably know, you know, there's not a whole pile of substance to it. It really is just a crazy story that happened back in the 1930s in Soviet Russia.
Okay.
You've just drawn a swastika.
I did, yeah.
This is part of what I don't understand is it Nazino affair or Nazino affair? Because it's spelled N-A-Z-I.
So is it to do with Nazis or is Nazino a place?
It's nothing to do with Nazis. Okay. Because it's like quite a nasty story. I'm tempted to associate it to Nazism. So it's the Nazino affair.
Okay.
But yeah. Fine. This is Soviet Russia. And like, they, you know, compared to the Nazis, there's not a massive difference in the kind of atrocities that were committed. But we're talking about one of the most gruesome and inhuman policies of the Soviet era.
Jesus.
What went down. It was an experiment carried out by Stalin's administration that cost countless thousands of human lives. It happened all across the country, but the most infamous story to come out of it all revolves around a small river island, which is today still commonly referred to as Death Island.
Death Island.
Death Island. So, okay. Basically, we're back in time, 1930s, Soviet Russia. So, okay. Russia has been
Is this during wartime?
This is after the First World War, before the Second World War.
Okay.
Ooh, so it's in this kind of administration. So Russia has had its revolution. The communists have come in. They've installed their sort of power. And now we have Stalin in charge, who has these fairly drastic policies. Very little consideration for human lives.
What kind of policies is he taking in here?
Not going into the history of it all. Let's just talk about the policy that sort of associated with the Nazino Island. They were trailing a new policy that was intended to remove all sorts of undesirables from the urban production centers. So the cities, the places that were producing goods and money, and so communism had the whole idea of the government owns the production.
Okay.
So that they can sort of distribute it freely.
The government can?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's meant to bring equality, but it didn't, because governments are corrupt and they just hold on to it all themselves.
Of course.
But they wanted to essentially get rid of the undesirables out of the production centers. They wanted the production centers to be people who could work, high-class people, people who fit within the social structures of communism.
Yeah.
So people who didn't, they wanted rid of.
Okay.
And the way they were going to do this was to establish this internal passport system. So if you were allowed to stay in the city, you got a passport to stay.
Okay.
Right? Essentially. Mm-hmm. And the rest had to be deported. Mm-hmm. So anyone who didn't fall into the socialist class regime, such as peasants who had fled the famine-stricken mm-hmm. countryside, you know, for mm-hmm. relative safety in the cities, criminals, and any other antisocial or socially dangerous elements in society. They wanted all of these people gone. So these people were essentially rounded up and deported from the cities out into the countryside and often right out into the wilderness. So they were just basically taken and we're sending you away.
These are the poorer people who couldn't afford...
The poorer, criminals, undesirables, whoever. People who were... people who lived all their lives in the cities but had never contributed.
Contributed.
Okay. The Soviets had plans for these people. After semi-successful trials in other parts of the country, they had hoped that these undesirables could move out into the empty lands in the wilderness or in the countryside, which hadn't been sort of built up and you know, turned into like towns.
Industrialized.
Industrialized, exactly. They hoped that they could rework and cultivate these wild lands and turn them into self-sufficient, high-production utopias.
Okay.
So the plan was, we'll take the people from the cities, we'll put them out in the wilderness, out in the countryside. They'll build production centers there, and we can turn the country into this ultra-efficient machine just to produce. This was happening all across the Soviet Union, but our story revolves around a group of deportees who were sent way out into the Siberian wilderness to set about cultivating the land on swampy Nazino Island.
So this is just one group of people who were sent out this way?
This is a particular subset of the...
How many people are we talking? Like, how many people were they deporting, like, at a time to these places? Are we talking hundreds of thousands?
We're talking the overall program, about a million.
Jesus.
People were sent to various different settlements all across the country. Okay. They wanted 2 million. But decided to, you know...
Cap it at 1 million.
Go for 1 million instead, just to see how it goes. So who exactly were they sending out to these work camps? Basically anyone who they found in the urban centres and deemed undesirable. Ex-merchants, traders, farmers, criminals, all common culprits. People were nabbed on the streets and assessed at every occasion. If they were not granted the internal passport that we talked about, they were just deported. Simple as that. Talking like 2 to 3 days turnaround. So like you could be living in the city one day, 3 days later you're out in the wilderness. Working for...
Are these freeloaders as such? No?
Not necessarily. Like,
just people who just were deemed that didn't contribute enough?
Exactly, yeah. Okay. And like some of the people, like it's really just cruel what happened. There are stories of peasants who were just visiting the cities. Mm-hmm. So they're coming in to maybe buy new clothes or buy like a fancy item or whatever. Were caught without a passport and deported.
No way.
Not back to their homes in the countryside. But out to these settlements.
And they couldn't stand up against that, no?
Well, not really, no. They didn't have any papers or proof.
Jesus.
So they were just sent away.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Exactly. They didn't have the passport. They weren't granted permission to stay, essentially. One man was apprehended while smoking on the street as he waited for his wife inside to get dressed.
No.
They were going to go to the cinema. And he was just caught. And they assessed him and decided you're being deported.
That was it.
He was gone. His wife stayed in the city. Like, it's mad. Absolutely any pretense was used to drum up numbers for this great experiment in the wilderness. The Soviet orchestrators wanted over 1 million people to be sent. And they got nearly 1 million people sent.
So the Soviets wanted 1 million?
Yeah.
For these trials?
For these settlements all across the country.
Jesus.
Now, for Nazino Island, mm-hmm. we're talking about 6,000 people were deported to the island.
Okay.
Of this number, one third were criminals.
Okay.
Actual criminals who had been taken away.
So about 2,000 of these people are criminals.
Exactly.
Shit.
So instead of going to the overflowing prisons, they were sent to this, essentially at work camp.
This doesn't sound like a great place already.
No, right? So these 6,000 people were sent on barges upstream towards the island, upriver towards the island, with a daily ration of 300 grams of bread. They were kept below the deck during the transportation the entire time. So they were basically transported like slaves. Christ. Criminal gangs quickly formed within the groups of people on the barges, stealing rations and clothing. The guards had showed indifference to the gangs, didn't really care, but they were known to punish individuals with extreme cruelty.
Wow.
So they could punish you for like not obeying them with like, extreme cruelty.
Ridiculous.
And there was gangs running about stealing from people.
And they turned a blind eye to it.
Exactly. They had no interest in that. Conditions on the barge were so bad that upon arrival on the Nazino Island, 27 people had already died.
Wow.
Of course, things were about to get much, much worse.
So this is, you said, in Siberia? Siberian wilderness? So this is, I'm picturing cold, frosty...
Cold, wet...
God, just not
snowfall,
not livable.
We're talking. They had to delay. They wanted to send these people at sort of the end of April, start of May. They had to delay it mm-hmm. because of snowfall. Like that's the type of conditions we're talking about here in April, May. But they did eventually get them sent up to Nazino Island. They arrived on May 18th, 1933. So about around 6,000 people arrived around the time. Actually, a little less than that. More people came like the following week. Mm-hmm. The total number was 6,000 people to Nazino. In the latter half of May 1933. So those who survived the barge journey, which obviously wasn't easy in and of itself, were greeted with a very grim sight. The island was a sparse, swampy wasteland.
Jesus.
It was just
I can picture it. Just complete shit. Yeah.
It was about 3 kilometers long and 650 yards wide. Like, it was a narrow strip of land in the middle of a river. And it was just like...
And that's where these people were supposed to...
This was their home. This was their new home that they had to, like, build up, cultivate, turn into a place to live. 6,000 people were about to call this tiny strip of land home. Almost immediately, things started to go wrong.
Jesus.
So, about a third of the people who had arrived were unable to work due to the gruesome transportation in the barges. So, basically, they were, like, so weak that they literally couldn't even work. Even if they could work, many of these people were city dwellers, like, people who had lived up there their whole lives, had no experience on how to, like, work on the land, how to cultivate, how to create, like, a self-sustaining environment. So they had no idea how to do this. They had no, like,
city plan. Folk,
The only food that they had that had been brought to feed the islanders was 2 tons of flour.
Jesus.
So 2 tons of flour for 6,000 people. That's supposed to do them until they were able to produce their own food. I've just lost this.
That's not going to last a whole pile of time.
It's not. And it's just flour. Like, it's not bread. It's not anything more substantial than that.
My God.
Trying to dispense the flour among the islanders started fighting between them immediately. Many of them were already criminals.
Yeah.
So whenever they tried to dispense this here, people were having arguments, having fights. In response to this, the guards fired upon the islanders to settle things down. And decided to move the flour across the river to the far bank so it couldn't be, like, essentially robbed. And then from that point on, the guards were all responsible for
dispersing the
rations to the people. But the guards were easily corrupted by the criminal gangs, and many still went hungry. So basically, a lot of people were just left to starve.
How could you be corrupt by criminals? Like, what are they offering you, you know?
So they had, like,
they're not in a good
position. Robbed a lot of, like, valuables off people on the way over. Gold, anyone who had died and anyone who would die were looted. Gold teeth, fillings, stuff like that.
Jewelry and shit.
Popped out. Yeah, anything. Wow. Really just like sort of inhumane acts. So, those who did get the flour, literally just had flour. There were no ovens on the island. They couldn't make bread.
So they just ate flour?
They mixed it with river water and ate like a paste.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The river water... obviously wasn't very clean either, and outbreaks of dysentery soon followed. So basically people were ill, people were infected, diseased, eating slop to survive for sustenance. The depleting food resources was a constant cause of friction, and as conditions deteriorated on the island, gangs formed and fights over food soon turned to murder. The gangs started to rule the island through violence. So basically, it's like
gangs just rose up.
What is that? Lord of the Flies type stuff. Like, it's like people are just strongest of the fittest. Survival of the fittest, my apologies. The guards who were ordered to contain the people on the island at all costs paid little attention to the gangs and the murders, but they introduced their own form of barbarity, harassing the islanders and executing many for petty offences. So basically, disobedience, boom, you could be shot on the spot. And the gangs were basically running the island. Mm-hmm. They didn't even challenge them, didn't even try to stop them. The ever-worsening conditions resulted in many attempting escape from the island using makeshift rafts. Many of these attempts were unsuccessful, however. There were reports, Chris, of hundreds of bodies washing down the river.
Hundreds
of bodies washing down the river. For people who tried to escape, from people who were like shot and dumped, who were killed and dumped in the water.
Holy
like imagine trying to build a raft to get from one side of the river to the other and getting it completely destroyed on the way over. That's just, you're over. Except you're dead. Freezing cold water.
Jesus.
Even if anyone did make it across the water, the harsh conditions of the wilderness and distance from civilization, not to mention the overzealous guards who were hunting them down, means that most of these people likely just
never,
perished.
Never made it.
Just didn't make it. I looked at a map of this area. Yeah. Like, to this day, Chris, like, the roads stop. Like, about 100 miles away from this place. Like, what? There's just no roads. It's complete wilderness, like. And we're talking over 100, nearly 100 years ago. Like, this was just, this is completely way out of the sticks.
Just middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere. I have no idea where they picked this spot. Like, it must just have been because they could keep them contained.
Yeah.
On this little island, like.
And is it a proper island as such, or is it just like a marshy kind
it's
of
like
bog?
It's more like a marshy, like, it is kind of island-like. It's quite, like, it's large for, like, a bog. Yeah. In the middle of a river. Yeah. It does stick up, but like at the end of the day, it's just, it's, you know, it's a
piece of land. Are there trees and stuff on this?
Yeah, yeah, no, there was stuff like that, yeah.
Okay.
Like it is, like it
I'm
is. Just,
I'm trying to get a picture in my head.
It's not just like, yeah, like a barren emptiness, like there is stuff there, like there's little, it's like, it looks like land, like, you know, but it is marshy and wet and so close to the river. It's not a pleasant place to live. So yeah. So people were basically dying left, right, and center almost immediately from starvation, from fatigue, from being executed.
Yeah, I'm not
guards.
Surprised. They're eating slop.
Exactly.
These guards are like fucking maniacs that just want to trigger happy maniacs that just any excuse to pull the trigger, basically.
If you were ballsy enough to risk getting across the river, you probably died anyway.
My God.
But as horrific as this all sounds, we're yet to cover the most gruesome turn of events. With the food supply so low and the death rate so high, many on the island resorted to the most base and inhumane of acts, cannibalism. Now, if you've looked up this at all, you've heard about the unfortunate turn to cannibalism that these islanders went.
Jesus Christ.
By the end of May, right, now they arrived here at the on the 18th of May. By the end of May, it became apparent that many of the islanders were consuming human flesh for sustenance. So dire was the food shortages. So by the end of May, so like about a week and a half, 2 weeks, people were consuming
each other.
The remains. Yeah, exactly. Each other. The remains of those who had died. Because people were dying left, right, and center. And people were essentially, with no other recourse, were turning to cannibalism. Eventually, it gets even worse. Some islanders resorted to murder for the sole purpose of consuming their victim.
They're just killing to eat.
People were killing each other to eat.
So they weren't waiting for these people to die.
No.
They were literally just, I'm going to kill them and eat them.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh my God. The gangs were at it. Individuals were at it. Basically, everyone was starving.
This is insane. Like,
they literally made just...
And this isn't like, you know, like hundreds of thousands of years ago. Like this is like wartime. Like.
Yeah. This is not even 100 years ago. Not even 100 years ago. And we're talking a week. We're talking 2 weeks. To make this turn.
Yeah.
Cannibalism was reported as early as May 21st, which is 3 days after they arrived. Like, that's how soon it happened. About 50 people were arrested for cannibalism, but the true number was way, way higher than
arrested
that.
For
they were arrested by the guards for cannibalism. That's what they were reported saying. But, like, the true number was much, much higher than that.
Why would you be arrested for cannibalism?
Because, like, it is. Like, it's...
No, but I mean, if these guards were so trigger-happy, like...
Oh, yeah, I know. You just kill them. It's like, I don't know.
Someone has got to eat them.
Exactly. That's just more food, you know?
Wow.
So 50 people were arrested, but there was definitely, like, there was more than that was happening. Conditions on this tiny island had been so inhumane that in the space of, like, weeks, its inhabitants were committing the worst of crimes against
humanity.
That is
the worst, like.
Yeah, that is, like, that's, like, the top. Like, it's bad enough, right? I can kind of understand someone who's dead. And you're like, we're going to starve.
Yeah. It's eat or die, basically. Yeah.
But murder to eat.
Murder to eat is the
that's
different,
just
yeah.
fucking
what
crazy.
Do you think humans taste like? I know it's a bit off. Like,
I don't
do you
know.
Think, is it like you know the way, like...
Like chicken?
Oh, it's got to be, like... It's got to be like tough, like, isn't it?
Rough meat? I don't know.
It's got to be grainy, like, you know, like... I can't imagine it would be very good. You know, really tough and kind of... Because like we've got a lot of muscle, like...
And these people weren't well fed. Like, I mean, I don't think there would be much meat in them bones.
Oh,
forgive
enough,
the expression.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, it would be rough.
God, like,
you know what? I don't want to get too much into it, but like, what all do you eat?
Yeah.
Like, is it just like the appendages or do you go into like the guts and all?
I would imagine you'd
liver?
Eat like, I would imagine you'd eat like the fattier parts. So like the ass, the legs, you know, the breasts on women.
Would you eat like heart?
Oh yeah, I'd imagine, yeah. Liver, heart. Liver and heart, anyway. You couldn't eat a kidney or... No, could you eat liver?
You could eat liver, yeah. People eat kidneys as well.
Do they?
Yeah.
Isn't, like, liver... Like, isn't it, like, full of, like, toxins and stuff?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
I mean, if you're already eating a human, I guess, the least your worries is toxins. You're not going to sit down to, like, ribs? Do you eat ribs, like, the way you would eat animal ribs?
I don't know. This is getting dangerous now, this conversation.
It's...
Where are we going with this?
I know.
God. What part of the human will you eat?
That's That's nuts. Like, did they eat?
Did they season it?
Oh, how did they cook it? Just over flame?
I don't know. My God. I don't know. Raw?
Oh. It's so...
Yeah, I
have so many questions.
I know.
But this is ridiculous.
Unfortunately, I didn't delve into it too much. I didn't want to learn too much about it.
But this is happening
as soon as
3 days after arriving.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine that early on, it's a case of like, there's 20 people laying dead here. Their bodies aren't going anywhere and we're starving.
Like, we might as well eat them.
What the fuck are we going to do? But like, by the end of it, people were murdering each other. There were people killing each other to eat. Fresh food, like fresh meat. Fuck me. Like. So yeah, these people have been treated like wild animals, and that's what they had become.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane.
Most inhumane of conditions and the most inhumane of acts occurred.
And who was overseeing this whole thing?
Guards. Inexperienced guards.
But I mean, like, who was in charge of, like, the guards as such? Who?
Oh, yeah, like, the program went right to the top. Like, it was like Stalin's advisors.
Stalin.
We're organizing this to sort of prove, look what we can achieve if we do this.
Okay.
Now, the actual events that were happening in Zeno were, like, it was mismanagement. It was like, we're going to send these people up and these guards will watch them. And those guards weren't experienced. Okay. And they were, like, cruel. And they weren't ready. They weren't in a position to, like, direct these people to do
what would need to be done.
Exactly. Okay. And the people... We're stuck on this little island. Yeah. This is just the dire consequences of that. It may have been the spread of cannibalism that finally convinced the Soviet architects of this program, so the higher-ups, that it needed to end. Like, eventually. In early June, the Soviets decided to end the program at Nazino. So we're talking,
it lasted a month, not even.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Pretty much. Not even, not even a month.
They end the program, so what happened to people?
The surviving islanders
were
transferred to other settlements across Russia. So they weren't sent home.
No, of course not.
They were sent to different settlements.
Different settlements that are again, trying to build up these...
Exactly. Same idea, just not as, like, maybe not as dire circumstances, but like still sent away on barges in like really rough conditions to get there. Of the roughly 6,000 people who were destined for Nazino at the outset of the program, so like the initial people who you're going to be sent to this island, there were 2,856 survivors.
Wow.
So less than half.
Wow.
More than half the people died.
Shit. In what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, but a little bit more than that, because that's including like getting transportation from the cities right the way there. And some people
A little over a month.
Yeah, a little over a month. 1,500 to 2,000 people died due to starvation, exposure, disease, murder, or accidental death, whatever that means. Doubt it was accidental. So around 2,000 people died from essentially being killed, either by starvation from the Soviets or from other people in the camps. Another 2,000 settlers disappeared, essentially. Whereabouts were untraceable, but they were presumed dead just because of the conditions that they were in, and they were never found. You know, there was never any reports of them. So 2,000 dead, confirmed, nearly 2,000 others presumed dead. That's including the people who never actually made it to the island. So that's including the people who were destined to go there but never actually, like, they died on the way.
Yeah.
Even after being removed from Nazino, several hundred of the survivors died while being transported to the next
settlement. To the next
settlement. So, like, even after they got, like, freed from this hellhole, they were still just too weak, too deficient to survive. The death tolls included people who either died or disappeared during the transportation to or from the island. So on the way there and on the way back, people died.
This is insane, dude.
Like that's essentially 3,000 people who died.
All because what? Because they decided that they weren't contributing to the industry back in cities.
They had a grand plan for these people, a grand plan for the nation that they wanted to execute.
Jesus.
But like, this isn't even
what kind of shit went on back then?
Oh man, like, Soviet Russia was a nightmare. Like, there was literal purges of people, like, undesired people. They weren't sent to camps, they were just killed, like.
Jesus.
And, like, there's some fucked up shit you can look up in Soviet history if you want, but nothing quite like cannibalism.
Cannibalism is, like, a different step. Like.
Nothing quite like Cannibal Island. You know what I mean? Island. Nothing quite like that. As extreme as that.
Jesus.
But you want to know the messed up thing, Chris?
Yeah.
So
that's not the messed up thing.
That's not, well, I mean, that is messed up, obviously, but, like, after all of this, they decided that the program wasn't going to work. That they were going to cancel it, right?
Okay.
The horrendous scenes at Nazino were instrumental in having the entire program shut down. Because it highlighted the issues that were happening, like, all over in all the different camps.
Yeah.
but like this was the most poignant example of it. Like this was like there was cannibalism. This is how dire things have become. So when they decided to shut this thing down, mm-hmm. of course, being the Soviet Union, they mm-hmm. just shut it down, and then hid the evidence. You know, just did what they wanted. They never released the documents. They never made it public. They never said anything about it. They just closed it down, pretend like it never happened. And
Jesus. So they just pretended that the whole island thing never happened. Like they never talked to those people.
Exactly. I mean, 6,000 people were sent there. 1 million people were sent overall.
So where'd they go? They closed down the documents of like the whole 1 million people.
They just pretended. They never mentioned what they did, right? But because the survival counts were so low,
yeah,
the story never got brought to the public. Like it never got public awareness.
Because there weren't enough survivors to bring it.
There weren't enough people to talk about it. Like there was only 2,000 people who made it, or 3,000 people roughly who made it off that island. Right? A lot of them were criminals. Right? Other people died on the way to the next place. Like yeah. They may never have gotten home. They may never have gotten to a position where they could have told.
How is it that we know about it nowadays? And how is it that it's come to light? Like, or why did it ever come to light?
Well, it remained, like this whole story remained almost entirely unknown mm-hmm. until 1988. When the iron grip of the USSR began to wane.
1988,
yeah.
Jesus.
So it's like when the USSR stops being like this kind of like super secretive authoritarian power, they can have some reforms. The Human Rights Group Memorial mm-hmm. began their investigation. They requested the documents and they finally got to see them. And the truth came out like 10 years after that even, when they got to publish it, like... That's how long it took.
Imagine being the people who first seen those documents and first seen like what actually went on. Like,
I mean, but like compared to everything else that happened, they probably weren't even that shocked. It's just when you really dig in and you hear like the stories about people like eating each other, you're just like, what the fuck?
Was there any like published like stories or articles or anything from people who survived? No.
Not that I'm aware of, no. Haven't seen anything. I mean, the best like first-hand accounts there are is from guards who like had reports.
Yeah.
So they're writing about some of the survivors, the state of them, where they'd come from, things like that.
There's no books like My Time on Cannibal Island or anything like that.
You know what? Actually, I don't know. That would have been something I should have looked up. But I kind of was coming to the close of this, and I just was like, let's wrap this buddy up. And whatever. That's where I did. Yeah. Well, we heard that it was hidden away essentially for.
Yeah.
How long is that? 50 odd years?
Russians will hide 50, anything.
60 years?
Look at even when we looked at Dyatlov Pass.
Like exactly.
If that was Russian, then they
just
hid that.
It's all just hush-hush and put behind closed doors. And eventually it comes out.
Yeah. But when the people who were involved are long dead, exactly. So they don't have to worry about it no more.
Exactly. So it's thanks to that investigation that we know the horrifying truth about Nazino Island, which is still known to this day as Cannibal Island.
That is amazing.
Cannibal Island. Or some people call it Stalin's Cannibal Island.
Cannibal Island. That's a scary thing, dude, that happened like less than 100 years ago.
Yeah. Like humans do these things to each other. Did these things to each other. It's fucked up. Pardon my French.
That'd be a good movie as well.
Man, I don't even know.
Or a good documentary even.
Yeah, it would be a good documentary.
That's messed up, man. The Russians had some weird shit going on.
They were up to everything.
Can you imagine being one of those people on that island?
I don't even know. Like, no, I don't think I could. Like, imagine, like, it's like saying, could you imagine being in a concentration camp? Could you imagine just those conditions? Like,
Jesus.
I think it's just crazy that it was this little island. That's what makes it crazy, I think.
That it was just like 600 yards wide and a couple of kilometers long.
Like, it's different whenever you're like, you're in the middle of nowhere, but you're a part of this, like, country.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, if you could escape, you could, like, maybe get away.
This was just this little island.
This was an island, right? So you have to get off of the island first, and then you have to make your way through wilderness to make it to safety. And it basically was impossible.
Jesus.
Like, this is the real Alcatraz right here. That should have been Alcatraz Island. Because you're not
surviving. You don't get off that, like, yeah.
Even you make it out, you have to survive, like, Siberian wilderness.
Yeah.
You're fucked.
Do you ever hear of the... Do you ever see the film The Way Back?
The Way Back. Have I? No.
Saoirse Ronan, Ed Harris, Colin Farrell.
No.
True story about the prisoners who escaped the Siberian gulag during wartime, but they walk from Siberia to India for their freedom.
My God.
They walk like what, it's like 2,000 miles. Unbelievable.
In like the freezing cold?
Freezing cold, then they walk through like the Mongolian desert.
Jesus,
like it's like
Christ.
Just go from all different, like through like all these war-torn countries and shit. Oh, it's unbelievable. But yeah, when I think of Siberia, I think of that. And it's like, that is cold, frigid, fucking wet, windy, just barren, nothing there.
Good luck to you.
Jesus. Man, that's messed up. Like,
the grim.
Like, Hitler was messed up. Like, Stalin and Hitler. Like, yeah, some weird shit going on.
Some of the worst. Like,
it was almost like a competition to outdo each other.
Right, no.
Anything you can do, I can do bigger and better.
Yeah, and worse.
You have Cannibal Island, I'll have a fucking concentration camp.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, Jesus.
How many people did you kill? A couple of thousand? 4 million. 6 million. Something like
that. That's insane. Thank you for bringing that to my attention, D.
It's a crazy story,
I'm
isn't
glad
it?
That I know that now, that piece of history.
Cannibal Island. Yeah,
that'll be like a nice story. Not a nice story, but a story I can pass on, you know, sometimes. When
yeah, yeah. It's definitely something you're like, oh, like, you're talking about some fucked up shit, or you're talking about weird shit in history.
You'd be like, well, let me tell you, did you ever hear about Cannibal Island?
Exactly.
Cannibal Island.
Cannibal Island.
Even the name, like,
exactly. That's the attraction. We're fucked up creatures. When we hear Cannibal Island, we get interested.
Yeah, I know.
You know? If I tell you that 3,000 people died in a concentration camp, you're like, oh yeah, that's sad, no, yeah. But like, concentration camps happened.
Did they ever resort to cannibalism in concentration camps? No.
I actually don't know. I'd say probably.
Jesus.
I'd say probably something like that has happened.
I'd say they were probably killed though, if they did, you think?
True, right enough. A lot of like, there wasn't bodies ever like left. Because they were hiding the fact that they were killing these people. Yeah. So they were always like burnt.
Yeah.
So maybe.
My God.
That's just. That's crazy. The Russians did. The Soviets didn't care about that. They were like, I'll leave them to it.
But I mean, China at the minute are still brainwashing people.
China, yeah.
They're literally concentration camps as well. Exactly. Nowadays.
Yeah. Oh, it's like.
Dude, we live in a fucked up world.
People talk about slavery as if it's a thing of the past.
It's still very much present.
Remember about 20 years ago, it happened in the UK. There's like a place, yeah, and like some place out in the Coventry, and they were just keeping, I think they were like Chinese or Vietnamese workers, and they were just keeping them in like shipping containers.
What?
Yeah. Making them, I think they were like manufacturing stuff.
My God almighty.
It's crazy, like.
I hope there's like an alternate universe where like there's an Earth.
Where like this shit just never happened.
Yeah, where it's only good happens, because we don't deserve this Earth when we do things like that, do
you?
Jesus Christ.
Don't deserve the goodness.
No, definitely not. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. We hope that
enjoyed.
If this is your first podcast, like, this is a pretty heavy topic.
Remember, I said to you, let's not do the coronavirus because I thought it was heavy.
Heavy, yeah.
I thought it was like you know, a bit heavy.
Coronavirus looks pretty light now compared to cannibalism. Yeah,
I mean, less people have died from coronavirus than
people
died
in China aren't fucking eating each other yet. No. You know, although
they do eat dog.
I know. Yeah, they eat anything out there. I think cats and dogs.
That's it. That's why there's all this cross contamination, Chris.
Well, there you go.
Because they far more. Well, actually, it's not because they eat far more variety, but they have like more things like in the markets.
Well, I mean, if you're eating a dog, what all has a dog eaten? Do you know what I mean? And you're gonna eat that too. Do you know what I mean?
It doesn't really work that way, does it?
Well, I don't know. If
it's like if you have like a dog and a chicken and a pig and all these things, it's like, and they all have their different diseases, yeah. And they're all crossing and jumping about. It's like, oh crap! Now I got that shit, man.
I don't know.
At the same time, you can't really shit on them because it's like, we used to do basically the same thing.
I mean, they built a hospital in 10 days.
Who? The Chinese?
Have you seen that?
No.
Do you not see this?
No. But they're going to need to, aren't
when
they?
When the fucking, this whole thing kicked off, they were like, okay, we need somewhere to house these people. So they're like, right, we need to build a hospital. So they set a 6-day time limit to build a fully functional hospital, working round the clock 24 hours a day. They postponed it. They said it was going to take more time. 10 days.
10 days.
10 days. They have a fully functioning hospital, all working. It looks like a brand new hospital, that you would have here, like built like, in like
it,
a year.
Was it built or was it like?
As in, they took in like 50 bulldozers to level the ground, first of all. Put in the foundations and built from the ground up a hospital in 10 days. Look it up. It's insane.
Okay, I'm going to look that up.
Like the diggers are like bucket to bucket, like lined up and they're just bulldozing the ground. And they just built a hospital.
That is insane.
That is efficient. You know,
I'm gonna get that video. I'm gonna link it on our
like
show notes.
It's like the time in like Japan or China, wasn't it? Like the whole ground caved in after like an earthquake in like the middle of like a town. There's a huge like massive crater, and in 2 days the traffic was back functioning. The whole thing was fixed.
They do have some serious production going.
That's efficient as hell. Like the Germans are efficient, and the Germans are good at what they do. But China and Japan are just a different breed.
China just have the workforce, don't they?
It's unbelievable.
That's actually insane.
Yeah. But a fully functioning hospital in 10 days. Like, that's.
I'm going to get a clip on that video and put it on our show notes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that'd be tremendous. There you go. There's bound to be like a time lapse, I'm sure. You know? And people are thinking, oh, yeah, that took like a year. No, it took fucking 10 days. That's insane. Remember, you can find this video and all our previous podcast videos over at youtube.com/emptypromisepodcast, or you can take the audio version with you anywhere you may be if you search for us on any podcast hosting service. I highly recommend Spotify. But if you use anything else, please give us a rating if it's not too much difficulty. If this is your first podcast that you're listening to, hello and welcome. You're very welcome to the community. And if you're a returning customer, of the podcast, thank you for finding us again. You're very welcome. Get in touch with us through any of our social media sites. Just search for Empty Promise Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Or get in touch with any questions, queries, or comments through our email, which is
EmptyPromisePodcast@gmail.com.
Excellent. I think it's time we got personal.
Get personal with the
with podcast.
Personal with the podcast.
Where we find out what we each got up to over the past.
PWTP.
That was quick.
There you go.
PW personal with the podcast.
Popped. Yeah.
Popped. Let's get popped. What'd you get up to?
It's been 2 weeks, so yeah. lots and lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Should have happened, but didn't.
Yeah.
Because I'm a very boring individual.
As am I.
Do you know what, Chris? I don't. What did I do? Did I do much of it all, at all? I'm inclined to say no.
No.
It was my mother's birthday.
That's right.
So I was down.
Did she have a good birthday?
For that. Yeah. It was pretty good.
Nice.
I got her a big balloon.
Did
big
you?
Helium balloon.
Nice.
Brought her out to dinner.
Nice.
She was very embarrassed.
Good.
But that was good. Yeah, it was good. It was actually good cracking.
Where'd you go for dinner?
We went to Conquer Wood.
Oh, nice.
Had the steak. Had it medium well.
Yeah.
Or had it medium, sorry. Yeah. Had it medium and got it well done.
I just had it back.
I was tempted to.
Yeah.
But there was like six people who'd got steak.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, this is going to cause an absolute ruckus.
Yeah.
And
I would still send it back. Because at the end of the day, you're a paying customer.
I know, yeah.
And they got it wrong.
They did get it wrong. They got it really wrong.
Well done steak is never good.
It was okay.
I mean, did it still taste okay?
It still tasted okay, but I was just annoyed because I didn't see the red. You know, it was a tiny slither of red. Like
didn't have that kind of melty texture. And
no, there was no juice falling out of it either, so I missed. But I was like kind of, I had already been pretty particular what I wanted with the garnishing because I wanted the fillet steak, but I wanted the sirloin garnishing. And they did that for me, so I was kind of like, okay.
Nice.
But I was like,
well, look, I don't understand this. Like, if you're a paying customer and they have a full menu there, you should be able to pick and choose off of whatever you want. And have
I know, yeah, but like, if you were that waitress, waitress, whatever you want.
Well, it's the chefs that have to do it for you. You know?
I know, yeah, but it does. It adds that layer of complexity. And then when you're taking for like 10 people, you're
true.
Like,
but if they do it well, then that's a sign that okay, we'll come back.
We'll come back here. You earn my business.
You know, the
you
key to business.
You know, I wasn't impressed with the steak. Like full stop.
Okay.
I don't even think it had it been cooked to my specification, it would have
been.
Was
it a fillet?
It was a fillet.
You like the fillet steaks, don't you?
I do, but I didn't. This one just didn't shock me.
I'm not a big fan of
it. We had steak at home the next day.
Mm-hmm. It was better.
Sirloin steak, the moment we made, I thought it was better. I thought it was tastier.
Yeah.
Personally. Yeah. I thought it was tastier. But
did anybody else have a complaint about the steak, or was it just yours that kind of came?
Yeah, my brother as well. Overly cooked. Yeah. Too well cooked.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame, isn't it? Yeah. It is a shame.
They just got away in them. You know, the steaks just got away in them, you know?
Got away from me.
It just got away from me. You know, I turned my back for 2 minutes. It just kept cooking.
But at the end of the day, I think if you want to go get a good steak, you got to go to a steak place. Because they're not going to get away from them there.
No.
You know,
no.
They're not going to be cooking a steak beside a fucking, a salmon. Okay.
Did you get any dessert?
Yeah, I had the chocolate brownie and ice cream, which I always get there, which I love.
Nice.
And they did give me the starter that I wanted, which wasn't on the menu. The bread mushrooms.
Oh, nice.
Oh, garlic. Oh,
they're
so good.
I haven't been to Conquer Wood.
Ever?
No.
Ever in your life?
I mean, I've played golf there, but I haven't been for food, yeah.
You go up just for the crack.
Yeah, just for the absolute band.
Yeah. You can just go up for a drink.
Yeah.
Enjoy the views.
Okay.
It's very popular in our family.
Yeah.
After that, Chris went back to Belfast and didn't do a whole pile for the rest of the week. On Friday night there, I went to my girlfriend's sister-in-law's birthday.
Good. Okay.
We played Jackbox party games. Did you ever play those?
Nice. Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very,
so
very good.
A lot of fun had there.
Yeah.
Played a few card games like Cards Against Humanity type games.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
As well. Had a few drinks.
Excellent.
Which was nice. Laura was driving, so.
Oh.
Got to have a few beverages.
What did you drink?
I was drinking Harp.
Oh, do you like Harp?
I do like Harp.
I've heard you drink Harp a few times on this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm not sold.
Yeah. No one liked it. Everyone said, oh, that's you drinking a can of piss. And I'm like,
yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think it's all right.
I think it's quite nice, actually.
It's
better than piss.
You know? I quite enjoy Harp, particularly when on draft, Harp Ice.
Oh,
I think it's quite tasty.
Okay.
I think it's got a nice taste.
I think you're just becoming like Belfast.
For a lager.
Institutionalized.
How many people in Belfast like Harp?
Does it not? Are there more tenants?
Well, they
stuff?
Were all from Belfast.
Oh, what did they drink?
I don't know. They all just said it was piss.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, it's like something, something rat piss.
Oh.
H-A-R-P. And I was like, right.
Oh, okay.
Well, I drink it anyway. But, yeah, it is just like, it's a, Harp is a beer that's advertised as like Belfast, Northern Ireland, yeah. Like the Northern beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's made in Dublin.
Is it?
Yeah. It's made by Guinness.
Did not know that.
Where the harp comes from.
Did not know that.
I was just like,
my God.
Man, they just sold us completely on this idea. It was made in Belfast like 40 years ago.
And why is it known as like the Belfast kind of? Because I would, if someone said, where's harp from? I'd be like, oh, Belfast or up north somewhere.
Because marketing, Chris.
Fuck marketing.
Because marketing. That's why. And they know that that's
Mandela. That's like Mandela effect. That's what that is.
Yeah. Almost. I forget what that is already.
It's like when you believe something to be so true, but it's not almost like most of the world believe that Nelson Mandela was dead.
Oh yes, when he wasn't. Right. Okay. I see. Right. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. So many people believe it that yeah, it's kind of just accepted as fact.
Yeah.
But yeah, Chris.
Ooh. That's a big storm.
It's made in Dublin.
Wow. So what else you got up to then? Yeah, I had the party.
That's true. Yes.
Yes.
Had the party. Yes. It was, yes. So, and?
Is that it?
Oh, and I had, at that same party, I had a dabbling of Da Bomb hot sauce,
mm-hmm.
which if you watch the hot ones, it's like one of the like sort of middling towards top tier of hotness. It was like 100,000 to 200,000 Scoville heat units.
Okay.
A jalapeno pepper is around 8,000 to 10,000.
And what was this?
This was Da Bomb.
Yeah, but what level on the scope?
100,000.
And a jalapeno is 8,000?
8,000 to 10,000. Like, I'm not...
You just jumped like 92,000.
When I described this to you, I was not joking. Like, it's not like a pleasant spice, like a tingle, or like even like an unpleasant tingle, like a spice. It's like a taste of spice and then just pain in your mouth. And it's just like spreads down your throat and you're just like... I just have to endure this now.
How long did it take for you to get rid of that?
About 5 to 10 minutes.
Jeez.
Totally gone about 10 minutes. But like after 5 minutes, it's like I'm okay now. I can speak and
okay.
I can concentrate on things again. Yeah.
Did your eyes water? Or
yeah, my right eye watered and I could feel like a drop rolling mm-hmm. down it. But I didn't want to wipe away because it's like I got that shit on my fingers. Yeah.
Single tear.
So I was just like, it was bad, but I didn't like. Hiccup or struggle with it. I just let it go down.
That's crazy. But did it upset like your stomach or anything? No.
No, it was dead on actually.
That's a hot sauce.
We're gonna do that on the podcast. Or just a dedicated video. Some point this year we're gonna get
hot sauces.
Some hot sauces. Yeah. We can do vegan wings as well, Chris.
Fine, yeah.
We'll get
cauliflower.
Cauliflower. Yeah, cauliflower. And
or pretzels are good.
Pretzels are good.
Pretzels are good.
But if we're gonna mimic the hot ones, we're gonna do the wings.
The wings, yeah.
So we're going to do that. Look forward to that. Struggle with it. And no milk and no water.
Oh. How long can you last? Yeah, okay. I like that. Okay.
If you want to watch an excellent piece of YouTube, and this goes mm-hmm. to the audience as well, look up The Hot Ones with Paul Rudd. He's just a very pleasant fellow. And himself and the host do the full selection right up to the 2 million Scoville units. So I was 100,000, goes up to 2 million.
He was in 2 million?
And they did it without milk or water.
No.
So fair play to them.
Oh my God. I think I'm pretty sure that would destroy my insides.
But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I look forward to that. Yeah.
But aside from that, I watched two of the movies that was on my list.
What'd you watch?
Toy Story 4 and Lego Batman movie. So got two of them off.
Did
two
I recommend Lego classics. Batman movie?
You did. Okay. And I wrote it down on this podcast.
Oh, what do you think of it?
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah,
it's good. It's excellent. It's as good as the Lego movie was.
Yeah.
Which I was happy with.
Yeah, okay, good.
And Toy Story 4 was also really good.
Is it really emotional?
Have you not seen Toy Story 4?
No.
I thought you had.
No.
I was gonna talk about it in a spoiler fashion. It is. It's quite emotional, yeah.
Okay.
But it's kind of not as... 3 was like the most emotional for me.
Okay.
Just because that felt like the end.
The end of like that. Yeah, okay.
And this is kind of like... This is a more conclusive finale for certain characters.
Okay.
And that for that particular bit
is it
very
still
emotional. It's still open, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's always going to be open, I think. Mm. I don't think they will do another one.
Well, I didn't think it would be too open after 3.
This one is like, I think it really helps you. The idea of it being over is more absolute in this one.
Okay.
Compared to 3.
Okay.
But it's still a happy ending.
Jeez.
But it's kind of like that kind of, I'm sad, but I'm happy.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's good. It has those emotional kicks, but it's still a positive movie at the end of the day. Has brilliant, couple of brilliant moments in it, but I still wouldn't rate it as highly as 3.
Okay. Personally. Well, I'm glad you kicked off 2 on your list.
Me too.
That was good.
Feeling good.
I really like the Lego Batman movie. I just think it's funny as hell.
Yeah, it is very funny.
It's very well done.
Yeah, some bits in it as well.
Some really good homages to the actual Batman movies.
Yeah,
The DC and Marvel.
A lot of references.
Yeah.
I'm shocked by the amount of references.
Yeah, very good.
Excellent movie.
Good. Anything else?
No? I don't think so. Maybe something will come to me whenever we're shocked.
Let me see. Well, I haven't got up to a whole pile. Let me see. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
No, I haven't done... I've done sweet damn all, to be fair. I'll just talk a bit about the stuff that I watched. So I got round to watching Marriage Story.
Oh yeah.
On Netflix. The Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson kind of, how do you put it? It's like a real slow fucking burn. It's like a Netflix original.
Yeah.
It's won like, a load of awards.
It's a big Oscar.
It's a big one. Yeah. Very, very good.
Nick Cage commented on it.
Did he?
This is another piece of news I looked at. I found while researching Nick Cage. He says it should be a mandatory viewing for anyone going through like a, I don't know if this is a spoiler.
No.
Like divorce.
No, yeah.
Divorce or like family issue or family law. He says it depicts it really well. It should be mandatory viewing.
I've seen a lot of movies where, you know, divorce is a key theme or, you know, like a breakup or something, but nothing like this. This is proper, like, oh, shit. And Adam Driver is just phenomenal. Scarlett Johansson is as well, but I think he's just...
Is he stealing the show a bit?
He's just so good, you know? There's a lot of, like, monologues and stuff.
He is, like, holy a terrific shit. Actor.
He's really, really good.
I haven't seen a film I don't like him in.
I haven't seen too many with him in.
I've seen him in a few now. I've seen him in...
apart from Star Wars, obviously.
What's that one, the bank robbing one called? Him and Daniel Craig and
what?
Channing Tatum. You'd love that.
Oh,
I can't think of it. It's got a weird name.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
He's in it, and then I've seen him in, there's been another one I've seen him in as well. The Black Klansman as well.
Never seen that.
Brilliant in it as
well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
fucking excellent.
He used to be a Marine.
Yes, I know. It's crazy. I watched his TED talk on that.
Oh, you told me that.
Yeah,
that's very why I know that piece of information. It's probably on last week's podcast. Okay, fantastic.
I got around to watching one on my list, which was Dallas Buyers Club. Wanted to see it for a while.
Have you never seen it?
No.
Yeah, that's very good.
Have you seen it? Fucking brilliant. Like
he heard that Oscar.
Jesus Christ. Like, he lost so much weight. Like, scary weight. Even Jared Leto was good in it.
Charlie was really good.
Like, really good.
He's excellent.
Yeah.
Did he get Best Supporting Actor? I don't know. He should have.
Don't know if he did, actually. But it's a really good movie. I hadn't seen it to that point. Rewatched Lincoln Lawyer as well. I was just going through a McConaughey fucking binge at that point. So
a good binge to have.
Lincoln Lawyer was another excellent one. And yesterday, actually, we sat down as a family to watch Infinity War. My dad has yet to see Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched Infinity War, and today we're going to watch Endgame.
Oh, yes.
So
good. Have you seen it before?
Oh, yeah.
You have, yeah.
Infinity War?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that's the one you didn't watch, and you just, like, absorbed all the spoilers for it.
I did, and then the day that Endgame came out, I bought Infinity War on Blu-ray, and we watched it, and then we went straight to see.
Very good, very good.
And
it is good to watch them back to back.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's very good. I forgot how good that movie is, funny it is as well.
Awesome, like,
there's a lot of comedy in it as well. But it was great watching it with someone who hasn't seen it before and kind of wasn't ready for the whole ending to come along. It's like, holy shit.
I'll never forget that moment watching in the cinema. I just feel like, oh.
Yeah. So I like it. I like it a lot, and I'm looking forward to Endgame now as well.
Yeah. You've seen Endgame before as well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Seen Endgame twice now. That's my
I have to see it again, because the first time I watched it, I was just kind of reeling nearly just from everything that happened. Yeah. So now I'm going to watch it and just enjoy it as a movie.
I did that then shortly after when I first bought Endgame. I watched it again. Oh, jeez. It was even better. So I'm assuming today is going to be just so much better. That's excellent. It is.
Movie day. Movie night.
We've watched a lot of movies recently as a family.
That's good.
There's just like movies popping up, and everyone will just gather and we'll just watch, even if they're like shit movies.
Oh, that's nearly
almost
better.
Yeah.
You want a shit movie?
Field of Dreams was watched there recently as well.
Is it a shit movie or
no? Have you never seen Field of Dreams?
I've seen parts of it. I know the premise, and I've seen I've seen bits.
It's a great movie as well, actually. Yeah,
Build It and They Will Come.
Yeah,
that one.
But then it kind of changes. Oh, fuck yeah, it's brilliant. We watched Signs last week. Last time, I think I told you about Signs.
Class
film. Signs is so good.
Signs.
Did I tell you about this? Did we talk about this in the last podcast? This must have happened. Yeah, this definitely happened like just during the week. Yeah, we watched Signs as a family.
No, you hadn't mentioned that yet.
Oh, Signs is brilliant.
Yeah. This has been on the podcast before as well. We've talked about Signs is like underrated.
Yeah, a really underrated
show. It's a good film.
Even if
it doesn't make sense all the time.
No, exactly.
It's still really good.
It's so good. And you forget how good it is. And those moments that hit you and it's like, holy shit.
You know, you're talking about Matt McConaughey and Nick Pizzaglio.
Yeah.
Thing. You said ex-minister turned thingy. That's the first thing I thought was Mel Gibson and Signs. Yeah. That's what I was picturing.
Speaking of Mel Gibson, there's a rumor that he's doing Passion of the Christ 2. Now, don't laugh, but it's going to take place after the events of Passion 1. So after Jesus has risen, it's going to follow the lives of like the disciples.
That's right.
And how like they all went through like their punishments and stuff and how they were put to death and all their kind of...
Right, and all the martyrdoms.
So I think that could be really... If it's Gibson doing it, and I think that could be fucking awesome.
Passion of the Christ 2.
Crucify this.
Like,
yeah.
Sometimes you have to embrace the meme, don't you?
I read that during the week. I was like, what?
That's insane.
I think I would love them because
I watch Passion of the Christ when I was much younger.
Oh, yeah?
And only because everyone was talking about Passion of the Christ. That's the only reason I watched it. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember a thing about it. I don't know if it's good or bad. I couldn't tell you.
It's a great movie. It's fucking hard to watch when you're older.
It's all in like, what language
is it? It's Arabic, yeah.
Arabic. Like, yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
He learned Arabic, which is fucking awesome.
Probably tried to read the Bible in its original form.
You know, my uncle knows Arabic. Doesn't he? He can speak and write Arabic. Yeah,
like fluently.
He learned it. Yeah, he learned it. And now he's going on. He's done his master's in it. Now he's going on to lecture and teach in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good.
I don't know why.
Is this for like religious purposes?
He did religious studies. He did theology and philosophy.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's what I was thinking. Along those lines.
It's sort of to read the ancient scripts.
Yeah.
Very good.
I don't know why you'd want to do that. It's a cool thing.
Somebody needs to do it, Chris. Yeah. Somebody needs to be able to read these things and
keep in biblical information. We watched as a family the other night, Noah. Have you ever seen Noah?
This is with, what's his name?
Russell Crowe. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay.
I've heard very mixed things.
Yeah, I can see why. But it's good.
It's good.
It's weird. They take a weird spin on it and it's like a Noah that I kind of wasn't expecting.
Right.
My only concern, I know you haven't seen it, so I'll not spoil it, but I wish they had spent less time dealing with the other kind of clan that is kind of trying to attack Noah and his family.
Do they kind of like give their perspective to humanize them?
So it's more like, you know, he obviously foresees that there's a storm coming and the creator is going to completely destroy the earth and all the bad in it, and him and his family are told to basically he has to build an ark, and then there's the rest of the people that are kind of living on the planet, you know, they're purging and they're stealing and robbing and raping and all the rest of it, and they want to get onto this
arc
or whatever, and there's like obviously there's a showdown between them and whatnot. If that had spent less time on that and more time on him actually building the ark, it would have been awesome.
Right.
But it didn't. But it's very good. I enjoyed it. Maybe a bit too long.
Oh, right.
That's the only concern.
Don't know if I'll ever get around to seeing that.
No. But it's good. They take a weird notion, a weird turn on like... So they say in it, like on the seventh day, God sent down these like seven... Or sorry, the creator sent down these seven like angels of light. And they were told not to interfere with man on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they did. They tried to interfere with Adam and Eve in the garden. They tried to interfere and affect what was going on. So the creator smited them down and cast like whatever over them. And they turned to like stone and were forced into the earth. And then they became like these big stone golems. So there's like this CGI of like these big stone golems that are like helping Noah build the ark. Oh, it's pretty cool, actually. But this is the only way that they can be re-released back to the creator. It's a weird spin on things, but it actually works pretty well.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So we watched that and we watched a couple of documentaries. But yeah, going through a real film binge in this house.
It's good.
And I took a notion this week to play some games. I got the Uncharted collection reinstalled. So I think I'm going to take back into Uncharted.
I still have to play Uncharted 4.
I want to get to Uncharted 4 because I've heard nothing but amazing things.
Yes, exactly.
But But I want to finish 2 and 3 first of all.
Uh-huh.
And I platinum the first one. And I kind of want to platinum 2 and 3 now.
Good luck with it.
They're all pretty handy. They're doable, platinums. Yeah. Yeah. It's just time.
I just played them for the experience. I replayed 2 and 3 whenever I got the collection.
Nice.
I don't think I replayed 1.
No?
I don't know why I didn't replay 1.
1's, I can kind of see. 1.
1's okay. 1's 2 is my favorite.
I can see why. I got halfway through 2 and I was like, Jesus Christ, this is such a superior game to the first.
Yeah. And then 3 is like, it improves on 2 in mechanics, but I think prefer 2.
Now I took a random notion to play Horizon. One of the guys in work was talking about how he was playing Horizon Zero Dawn. And I was like, that game was actually pretty cool. I could replay that.
But
I
think you were in love with Horizon.
Oh yeah, I platinumed it. That was the reason I bought my PlayStation.
Yeah.
For Horizon. That was the seller to me. And I stand by that game. Like Aloy is as dull as dishwater, but the world and like hunting like robot fucking dinosaurs, like who doesn't want to hunt a robot dinosaur? Yeah. Like, you know
what do you call it, Horizon 2, that's the big, I think that's gonna be the big PlayStation 5 or whatever
you think
seller, maybe, hopefully.
I might get the Frozen Wilds DLC for this one just play that. I could do that. It's quite cheap now, so but that's my plans for, I've been off all weekend, so I'm back to work tomorrow.
Oh, fun.
Which is shitty, but looking forward to getting to play some new games. And that's it. I went food shopping. Yes, I did a big food shop. That was it. I have no other.
Get anything interesting at your
food
shop?
I went to McDonald's though.
What'd you get?
I had the spicy veggie wrap, and I tried their new vegan vegetable fingers.
Were they nice?
They're okay. For McDonald's, they're okay.
Did you have the vegan sausage roll when it came out of Greg's?
No, I don't particularly like Greg's.
I've heard amazing things. Like this thing is better than sausage rolls.
Sausage rolls, yeah.
Like the spice or whatever mix they got too, going on. Yeah. And I was so shocked with this. I was like, so they're not trying to imitate like sausage roll meat. They're like, no, they've made something this nice.
Get yourself into Iceland. They do a tremendous box that's supposed to taste very similar to the Greg's ones.
Okay.
They do a box of like 6, I think.
I'll try that.
For like £2. They're very good. They're called like No Porkies sausage rolls.
No Porkies.
they're very good, yeah.
No Porking.
So yeah, try those.
Okay, I will. I wanted to try the KFC vegan burger as well.
I kind of want that as well, but I've heard very mixed things about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd heard tentatively good things about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was going to try it.
I can imagine
the herb and spice mix, if it doesn't change, I mean, it can't really go much.
Yeah,
it should be good, but it'll have to be tried.
I'm kind of hungry. I don't know what I want today. At a vegan pizza yesterday, I might have won again today.
Vegan pizza?
Yeah.
What do you have to change to make the base?
Nothing, essentially. Really? You just can't have any. So obviously you wouldn't have milk in it, but
does milk be in it?
No, I don't think so. So a standard base is what, like strong white flour and water, oil, salt, really? Bit of yeast.
Maybe? Yeah,
as long as the yeast is the yeast should be fine.
Yeast is good.
Yeah,
right. Cool.
Yeah.
I always wondered about this.
There's some.
And no cheese. What do you have a cheese substitute on there?
Yeah, so it's like a coconut oil cheese. And that tastes pretty damn good. It tastes just like mozzarella. You know?
That's impressive. I like mozzarella.
But there's a couple of like Domino's and Four Star and places they got. They will add stuff to their bases and stuff that obviously is not vegan friendly. Yeah. So, but if you're just making them yourself, that's fine.
Should be aight.
The M&S are doing a fantastic vegan range at the minute called Plant Kitchen. And their food is oh my god.
It's a little pricey.
Yeah.
But it's good food.
They're no cheese, mac and cheese is like that bomb. Like the shit. I'm gonna have some more of it today.
Nice.
Yeah, with a hot dog.
What type of hot dog?
You know that Beyond? Have you ever heard of Beyond?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their hot dogs good?
Oh.
What do they taste like?
Oh, incredible. I wouldn't even go back to like regular hot dogs.
Give me like a flavor profile.
So just like, okay, so the same kind of texture and all as like a real good sausage, but it's got like a little bit of spice to it, a little bit of like herby kind of spicy, but not too much that it overpowers. Like you still...
What's the texture?
Like you bite into like a real thick, like just standard sausage here, but without, you know, whenever you bite into a sausage here, you kind of bite through like the skin that
and
then you're in. Just without the skin.
Yes, it was all
meat. God, it's so good.
Okay, I'm going to try that.
Wee bit of mustard, wee bit of ketchup, some maybe grilled onions on it. Oh my God, they're really good. If you're in Tesco, get those.
What are they called?
Beyond.
Oh yeah, Beyond.
So Beyond, yeah.
You see, I got a shopping list going here.
They also do Beyond Burgers as well. Now they're pricey. It's like £5 a pack.
I know, yeah. I've heard the Beyond Burgers aren't quite...
Beyond Burgers, don't live it up to it. But hey, if you get the burger, you want to get those burgers out of Lidl, I keep telling you about the plant-based burgers.
Right, here we go. I'm going to get a vegan list here.
Holy shit.
I didn't do my vegan day. I haven't done my vegan day the last 2 days.
Well, this is a tremendous way to go. The last 2 weeks. Yeah, this is a tremendous way to
Beyond
go.
Beyond sausages.
Beyond sausages. You want to get those in Tesco. They're quite good. And then you want to get the plant burger from...
Aldi?
Lidl. I forget what it's called, but they're like $2.79. You get two in a pack. They are, I will never go back to a regular burger. It's just the right amount of smoky, the right texture, the right taste. Oh my God, they're so good.
No porky
sausage Iceland. Rolls. Iceland. I think Tesco do them as well, but Iceland is like the key place to get them. Okay, they come in like a brown
Iceland
box.
Iceland and Tesco are right beside us above us, so that'll not be a problem.
Yeah. Perfect. There you go. You are set.
I got three meals. Three vegan meals.
And if you're ever in M&S, pick up the Plant Kitchen.
That's the last one.
Plant Kitchen range.
What was the one at Tesco? M&S? M&S that you said was amazing.
Oh, the mac and cheese?
The mac and cheese.
The no cheese mac and cheese. Just comes in a little dish. I'll show it to you before you leave today so you can see what they're like.
No cheese mac.
There you go. So anybody else looking to do a vegan day, there you go. There's my recommendations for that.
There you go.
You should highly, highly
recommend.
You
can't go wrong.
Yeah. I think that's about all we have time for this. We have time for in this podcast.
We've probably ran over it a little.
Remember, you can find the video version of the podcast over at youtube.com or the audio version at any podcast hosting service. Just search for Empty Promise Podcast. We very much look forward to hearing from you. Get in contact through any of our social media sites. Just search for Empty Promise Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or get in touch through our website or through our email, which is
emptypromisepodcast@gmail.com.
We look forward to seeing you next week when we are back with a fantastic human feats episode. I cannot wait for.
Excellent.
I am really looking forward. I got some good feats for you.
Brilliant.
Okay, excellent.
That's what I like to hear.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's been an absolute pleasure. We hope to see you all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed next week. Goodbye and God bless.
Bye-bye.